presenter is someone that has become a friend. Started out as a professional colleague and has become a friend and a friend of South Carolina. This lady, we have invited a few times last year, did some work with Successful Transitions and Summer Team virtually. And also this year, during our virtual week, Anne has spoken at our leadership seminar. And today, she has come from Baltimore. And we are going to hear about some tips for blind and socially savvy networkers. And here to present is Eileen Lai, Master Trainer, Blind Savvy USA, Baltimore, Maryland.
Thank you so much.
I'm playing you some music.
Oh, I like my theme music. Thank you. Well, hello, Federation family. This is my first time at a South Carolina convention, but it's not my first time in South Carolina. In fact, South Carolina has many special memories for me. First of all, of course, I did know your past president, Don Capps, and he convinced me to come here for a vacation to go to Beaufort, South Carolina with my husband, and I got pregnant there. And then 28 years later, my daughter Maria got married there. So South Carolina has many, many sweet memories for me. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about my context of the Federation family. I actually joined the Federation when Scott LaBarre joined the Federation because we were both scholarship winners in the same class, along with Melody Roan. We think it was that was the triple crown, right? 1986, we were scholarship winners. And back then I was super shy and quiet and I had no idea what I was doing in this place. But then they gave me $4,000 and I said, I owe these people something. I need to do something for the Federation. I need to prove that this investment was worth it, okay? So back then I was a student. I was a student at Harvard University, studied economics. Then I went to the Wharton School of Business. I got my MBA in healthcare management. I don't remember much of anything I learned in those two very expensive schools, but I'll tell you one thing I did learn, and it was by design. I learned how to network. Did they tell me I was learning to network? No, they said it was free cookies, free pizza, free beer, free wine, right? I'd go to the parties. I went to all the events. Free food, like Puerto Rican girl, big family, like this is great. But what I didn't realize is that I was being trained to talk to people, to talk to anybody, to find common ground and to make connection. And so as time went on and I tried to decide, well, where was I gonna spend my career? I started to work at Johns Hopkins University. I worked for the Low Vision Research Center. Really couldn't stand working with all those eye doctors. It was really painful, you know, trying to teach them about blindness. I'm like, this is painful. No, no, no. I'm going to go into my own consulting business. I'm going to do training. I'm going to work on things that I care about. So my husband, Tom, and I, we were thinking, my husband, Tom, went to heaven on August 30th, almost 4 years ago. And before he died, he said, Eileen, you may not retire. No matter what, he said, you got one more big thing in you, you may not retire. So I took that very, very seriously. And we had created a class together called Blind and Socially Savvy. And in this class, our goal was to teach blind and low vision students, youth, and adults how to be good networkers. Because why? Because I believe that almost every great thing that has ever come to me has come to me and in my work with the Federation had come through networking. I'm like, all right, I can't teach Braille. I'm not a Gary Kane travel teacher, but if I could teach people how to network, we believe that we could change lives. And I believe that's what we've done. So we created this whole curriculum, Blind and Socially Savvy. We piloted it at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. We sent that group of students to the national convention with business cards and taught them how to network and how to be polite at the elevators and how to eat pleasantly at the dining table and how to be great hosts at their banquet table. We taught these skills that started to build confidence and make a difference. And I'm going to teach you a few of those skills in a minute. But before I do that, I just want to tell you two stories about how networking really did change things in the NFB quite unexpectedly. Maybe I'll tell you three. The first is that I was sitting with Dr. Jernigan. So I'm old enough, I must confess, old enough to have met Dr. Jernigan, to have spent Christmas Eve at his house, to have had him to my home for various holidays. He was very much of a wonderful encourager and mentor to me. And one time, 1992, he said to me, "Eileen, we have this technology to make newspapers accessible, but we're not going to do anything with it." He said, "We can't find anybody. No newspapers will work with us because we're the Federation and they think we're so radical, they refuse to collaborate." He said, "People are starting to use computers, reading the newspaper over the phone. The time has passed." And I'm like, "But no, Dr. Jernigan, we can't do that." He said, I said, "This is a service that we can find blind people all over the country. We can run this service with very few people, and we can serve hundreds and thousands of blind people everywhere. We can teach them to listen to news instead of struggling with their eyes." I said, "We cannot give this up." He's like, "Well, we can't get anybody to work with us." So I kind of made it my personal mission to tell everybody I met about the talking newspaper and the possibilities that it could bring. I was at that time in a Chamber of Commerce experience where I was spending the year networking with different business leaders in Baltimore. And what I would do in my networking strategy is I would ride with people. I'd ask for rides and I had their undivided attention for 20 minutes, right? Till I got home, I used the obstacle of not driving and made it into an opportunity of how to network, right? I was entertaining them. I was providing a service. So I would tell every person that drove me home about this possibility of a talking newspaper. One guy I spoke to, his name was Bill Norton. He said, "Eileen, my father-in-law is the president of Gannett Newspapers. And Gannett Newspapers is a giant corporation that ran many newspapers." He said, "They own USA Today. And he said, "I'm going to go see him this weekend." This was a Friday. He said, "If you give me a letter, I will take it to my father-in-law." We got him that letter within 6 hours. Monday morning, he calls me and says, "Eileen, USA Today will pilot with the National Federation of the Blind to test the NFB Newsline system." And, you know, you're 30 years later, it's still going. NFB Newsline is making so many great things happen for so many people. And so what makes me really happy about that is we're getting educated, we're getting informed. Back then, I would go to events and meetings in my town, and I'd have to kind of pretend I knew which one of them had been featured in the newspaper. But then I actually then got to read the paper before they even got the paper at their doorstep. I was reading the paper and I knew what was happening before I went into any meeting in town. So that really changed a lot for me and for many, many people since. So that's one story about networking. Another one, back when the Americans with Disabilities Act came out, my dad asked me to come make a presentation at a Department of Labor conference in Puerto Rico. I'm Puerto Rican, he lived there. It was not that fancy. I was not in a hotel, I was at home. So I went home and he said, "Can you make a talk about the Americans with Disabilities Act?" I'm like, sure, you know. And so I got into this conference and I made a talk. It was very simple. I'm like, "Look, you don't have to worry about hiring blind people. Like, we know what we'll need and we'll show you. You don't have to be an expert, corporate America, on hiring people with disabilities. We'll help you." Okay. So I made that little talk. Then later in the afternoon, I was at a reception talking to people. And here I was, this little pregnant, little cute blind lady. And back then, cute. And then people were talking to me. I didn't know who they were. I couldn't see their name tags. My goal was just to be friendly and engaging and smile. This gentleman I met later said to me, "Hey, I work for UPS. He said, "I want to introduce you to some of the people in Maryland who work for UPS. And so he sent them an email and I started to network and meet with them. And back then I was president of the Baltimore chapter of the NFB and I was doing a fundraiser. And I called them up and I was like, "Hey, do you want to send some people to our fundraiser?" He's like, "Yeah, how can we help you?" I'm like, "Can you buy some tickets?" It's like, "Sure." Like, "Can you send me some volunteers?" It's like, "Sure. What else do you want, Eileen?" I'm like, "Well, can you give us $25,000? And he's like, "Sure." And I'm like, I should have asked for 50, right? I mean, I had them eating on my hand. And since that time, UPS has become a great friend of the Federation, right? They're at all of our conventions, right? They've given us over $1 million in help. And they're truly partners in what we do. We train all the volunteers, help people at the national convention get around. And actually, they even gave my husband, Tom Lai, a job. And they took really good care of him through his cancer, through his treatment. And even when my husband passed away, they even had such great benefits that they even gave us 3 years of health insurance for free. And they, you know, they gave us like, they were incredibly very good, generous company to work for. So there you go. Just being friendly at someone at a networking event, talking to people, being positive and being a good role model. And those are things that change the NFB one conversation at a time. Right. So this is why I think that the power and skill of networking is something that all of you can use to improve your lives and your future and improve your chapters in your communities. And I'm going to give you a few pointers about that now. So in Blind and Socially Savvy, that is a 40-hour training when it's done in person. We do receptions and workshops and practices. We send students into networking events and they work the room. We teach these certain principles about networking. The first is that you need to know why you're networking, okay? You're there to meet people and to make a connection, right? You're not there for the cookies. You're not there for the drinks. You're there to connect with people. So you know your why of going in there because you want to improve your life. You want to improve the life of our Federation family, right? We make friends and then friends make donations and friends also help us find other blind people and help us listen. So that skill of connecting with people is the power tool. It is like our secret weapon. I think of it as our superpower in order to strengthen the Federation. And then, so you're going to go to a networking event and basically where do we network? Well, it's sort of like church where two or more are gathered there. You can network. Okay. So if there's someone there, you can have a conversation and you never know what will come from it. You might get a great lead or a great idea, a great inspiration, a piece of encouragement that can then be used to make the Federation better and stronger. So let's say you're invited to an event to network. Let's say someone invites you to a party, a wedding, a reception. And when you prepare to go there, you have to think about these things. All right, you're blind. We're blind. Some people think, oh, it's impossible for blind people to network, right? Some people, they usher us in, they give us food, they stick us in a corner, right? And they just want to be done with us. But no, never let anyone sit you down at a networking reception. There's nothing for you at the table. You got to go and you got to work the room. You got to go out there and you got to meet people, okay? And you think, oh, but I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm really, you know, what are they going to think of me? Guess what? 80% of the people in that room, they're nervous and scared and they don't really want to talk to anyone. So when you go and talk to them, you're putting them out of their misery. You're helping them. You're like the hero, right? You're like Superman coming in there and you're starting a conversation, making people talk to one another. You're like, you're it. This is wonderful. Okay. So you have this power in you to be able to start these conversations. So what I think about when I'm going to go to an event, I'm going to go network. First of all, I think, who's going to be there? Who should I meet? Well, we can't see the name tags, right? Obstacle. Opportunity, you know the host. You know who invited you there. You ask them, is there anyone I should meet there? Can you introduce me to so-and-so, right? Or you can even say, if it's a big organization, oh, could I have a copy of the guest list as a reasonable accommodation because I can't read the name tags, right? Or you get there early and you have someone read you the name tags of the people on the tables, so you know who's coming in there. And you position yourself near the front door so that as people coming in and out, it's like your party, like you're running the place. You're saying hello to people who are coming in and they think like you're a big cheese there because you're there early, you're there on time, you're greeting people with a smile. So that's the planning ahead, figure out who's gonna be there and who you might want to meet. Secondly, you wanna dress right. You wanna dress appropriately. If you don't know how other people are dressing, ask the person who invited you, okay? Just copy their, whatever they're wearing, you wear. And you wanna realize that we stick out, right? Obstacle or opportunity? I'm telling you, when I'm the only blind person in a room of 90, 100 boring people in boring suits, and you know, I stick out, but I stick out for all the good reasons, right? I'm different, I'm interesting. They don't know any blind people. Like, wow, like I'm a celebrity. I just act like you're the celebrity, okay? And then you just go and you just talk to people. You just talk to people and be friendly and engaging. So dress the part, dress to give people, will be noticed. And some people don't like that. Oh, people are gonna stare. Well, heck, if we get them, we're lucky enough to have them stare at us instead of someone else. Let's give them something good to stare at. Let's be well-dressed, have our hair together, whatever, right? And a big smile, because no matter what you're putting on your clothing, and you gotta be clean, you gotta smell good, but you gotta smile because that opens the door to conversations. And there's something else we know about smiling, is that smiling makes you feel better on the inside. So it doesn't just tell other people how you're feeling. When you smile, when we smile, we're telling ourselves how we feel. We're telling ourselves, I'm good, I'm confident, I'm capable, I have something to offer. So even if you're in the bathroom stall ahead of time, you can sit there and smile for 5 minutes. Smile, smile, smile. Give yourself that smile therapy, and then you come out there and you greet people with a warm smile, and it really makes a great difference. Learn how to give a good handshake, and if anyone wants any handshaking coaching, I'm a handshaking like Nazi. I love to perfect people's handshakes, and you have that free service here after the session. Okay, so we got that. Yeah, the smile, you're dressed right. You know who's gonna be there. You're ready to start conversation. And this is where the news line comes in. Be informed, read up, be able to have conversations about things other than what's on the news and then what's those little one-liners, or talk about things that are positive and constructive and not negative. No gossip, no politics, really. You don't want to talk about religion unless you're at church. You don't want to talk about anything negative or gossip about anybody who's in the room. Even if the food's terrible, it's wonderful, okay? It's not about that. It's about what you want to project positivity, and that draws people to you. So you want to meet people, you want to talk to people, and then you want to talk in a way that you're asking good open-ended questions. And you're like, what does it matter? Why can't I just say, where do you work? You don't ever say, where do you work? That's like most untrained networkers ask that, where do you work? But why would we not want to ask people where they work? Someone must know the answer. Why do we not want to ask, where do you work? They might not have a job, right? They might be just fired. They might be ashamed of their job. They might have a top secret boss or a top toxic boss, and they don't want to talk about work. But we do, as networkers, it's good networkers. We do want to know what companies people are affiliated with, right? Potential donors, potential friends. So we ask things like, how do you like to spend your time, right? Nice open-ended question. 95% of people will answer with, oh, I work at blah, 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 and they'll give you everything you want to know. But at least it gives people an out. You don't have to corner them into talking about their work if they don't want to. So I have this thing about open-ended questions, and I'm very passionate that we ask open-ended questions. And any parent of a teenager knows why we ask open-ended questions, right? Because if you pick up your kid from school and you say, how was school? And they'll say, fine. Do you have homework? No. Right? So what you got to do is ask an open-ended question, like, tell me about what happened in science class. It's going to be really hard for your kid to answer that with one word. Same, I bet, because your kids are exceptional. Yes. So you got to think of open-ended. Tell me about is a great, great way to ask a question because it starts the conversation going. So, and if even someone asks you a closed-ended question, you don't need to answer it with just one word. You can be more sophisticated than that. And a good conversation is like volleyball, right? One person talks, the other person talks. It's volleyball. No one should talk for more than a minute unless you're at the podium like this, right? You really want to be listening to other people. And the people who are good listeners are considered to be among the best networkers because people love to be heard. And in a society, people really need to be heard. So it's not like we have to go in there and say anything cute or clever or even that you know, engaging, but just seeking other people out and getting their stories is very powerful. One of the earliest networking questions I learned from one of my dad's friends was he would ask everybody, tell me how you met your partner. Tell me how you met your spouse. And all of a sudden you got this couple that's so happy to share their story and you're reminding them of something happy in their life. And you know, you're getting some good connection there. So these are some things. You got to think about what you're going to talk about. And then I think that the next thing you really want to know is that when you finish your networking, you've talked to people, you've met someone, you've gone into a reception. And, you know, lots of times we go there and there's somebody we know, right? So we want to go find that person, but we don't want to do that. No. You might know two or three people at that event, and the average unsophisticated loser of a networker, they go and they find the person that they already know and they stick with them for the whole night. And then all three of them haven't met anybody new. They've kind of wasted the whole experience. When you go into a networking experience, you want to go in there and find someone you don't know. If there's somebody at your table today, after this talk, I want you to introduce yourself, someone you don't know, because then you're increasing your influence, you're increasing your touch points, you're expanding your opportunities to network, right? You already have those people in your pocket. The people you know, they're already your friends. So don't waste time with them at events like this. Go meet people you don't know and build your connection. And that's really one of the huge secrets about networking. And then another super important is that you follow up. 95% of networkers, quote unquote, they think they're networking. They meet someone, they got a business card. They never reconnect with the person. That's sort of like leaving money on the table or on the floor, you know? Like, why would you do that? Why would you leave a credit card on the floor unused? This is an opportunity to connect with someone. So follow up. Just the whole act of following up with someone with a note, with an email, with a cute article based on something you talked about, that will help to start building a relationship that could then lead to something, right? You don't go out right away and you don't ask for money. You're building friends. You're building friends and then hopefully from there, other lovely things will come. So don't forget and don't cheat on the follow-up. Don't cheat yourself. I used to collect, and I met a wonderful gentleman over here, Mr. Bibble, who was talking about his directories. He had all these thousands of different business cards. He had all organized. And I used to spend all my time collecting business cards. And then I realized, LinkedIn is my friend. As a blind person, LinkedIn is accessible. LinkedIn, if you can connect with people there, you can follow them throughout their career. Their business card may get outdated. They might move or change their phone number or change their company. But once we connect with people on LinkedIn, write to them, put them in our circle, and everyone should have a good LinkedIn profile. If you at all have any official capacity in the NFB, you should have a LinkedIn profile that shows who you are and helps you meet people. And that way you have them in your network forever. So let's say if I'm going to travel to Dallas, I can type into LinkedIn Dallas and I can come up with a list of 40 people that I know who work or live in Dallas, right? They're in my network. I might've met them a couple of years ago, but if I'm going to Dallas now, I can then go and meet them. So you can do this kind of thing and it'll help the paperwork simplify, reduce your administrative overhead of trying to keep track of people's phone numbers and emails and addresses and such. So LinkedIn is super, super good, your friend. So I think those are some pointers that I would give you for networking, and just, you never know, one conversation can change the world. And I'll end that last with this little story. So one of the things I did with UPS is I got them to give us a $10,000 grant one time to produce a little video about the kinds of jobs blind people can do. And I took a film crew to the NFB convention in 1992, And they followed me around while I interviewed these people. Well, one of the people I interviewed was a teacher, a totally blind math teacher from rural Louisiana. And he was teaching math to high school students who were sighted. And right in the middle of that interview, the film crew ran out of film. So they had to go back to the other tower where their truck was packed. Now, this is an old story, right? Because we just have digital now, but this was actual film we were recording. And so they had to go back to the other hotel to get the film. And so in those 20 minutes, this young, cute guy named Thomas Lai asks if I would like to have dinner with him. And I'm like, well, I know you know people in Louisiana and I'm wanting to network. I'm like, don't you know Joanne Wilson? You think we could have dinner with them? You think we could have dinner with the Whittles? He's like, yeah, I'll put together a group. So he calls me up later. He's like, and I've already now been interviewing for 10 hours and I'm exhausted at this point. And then he says, I got a whole big group of people together for dinner. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was kind of ready for a quiet dinner, which really made him nervous, but I was just exhausted. But then we had a beautiful dinner together and the rest is history. So that is the story of how I met my husband, Tom Lai. So networking, you never know what it's going to give you. You know, you can make friends, you can build relationships, you can raise money for the NFB, you can just make your life better or bless someone else's life. So I want you to get out there. Each of you have the power to be good networkers, okay? Put those shy people out of their misery. Say hello to everyone at your table at the banquet today. You greet and say hello to every person there. And just get, when you leave tomorrow night, you will have known more people than when you came in, okay? So good luck to you and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Going this way? Are you going that way? Okay. Wow. So are we going to sit by new folks at the banquet? Whoa. I hear the rain. I hear the thunder, but I hear no... yeses. Shannon, you can't sit with anybody new, but hopefully some of you will sit with new folks and invite new folks and make folks feel welcome.